All right, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Hope you're doing well. If you're not, that's okay. We're going to open God's Word and learn more about Him this morning. So you may have heard a lot this past week, but I want to tell you something that is absolutely true and more sure to happen than death or paying your taxes. And it's Revelation 21. Listen to God's word. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither will there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." That is more sure to happen than anything you've ever heard. That is going to happen. And in light of that, we gather together to worship God, to learn about God, to encourage one another to grow in the faith, and to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's part of the reason we've been doing this series called Evangelism Like Jesus. We want to meet people. We want to engage with people with presence and grace and truth in our families, in our workplace, where we live, where we play, the restorative type ministries that we do. We want to reach people with the gospel. We want to represent Christ. We want them to know him before this happens. But today we're going to take a step back and zoom out to remember. It seems like a very appropriate day for a church planting focused Sunday on St. Patrick's Day. And we're going to take a step back and look at and remember and be inspired about the fact that we are a church planting church. The primary focus that we've been going narrow and deep in making disciples and reaching people with the gospel that's outside of our local strategy is to plant churches. And we've talked about the why we're a church planting church. We've talked about that a few times. We've talked about how we go about that, the fact that we are a tithing church, so 10% of all we receive, we give to the work of church plants. And we've talked about who specifically we support financially and who we're praying for. But today, I want us to have the opportunity to hear about a specific example, a real-life example of someone who was called to plant a church, someone who actually went to Terra Nova before God called him to do this. And so I would love for us to get to hear from Pastor Sean. He's here somewhere. I saw him a little bit ago. Pastor Sean is here with his wife, Hannah. And Pastor Sean's going to come up and share a bit about God's calling on his life and some of what he's seen God up to in Albany and with the church that he pastors. And so if you could give a warm welcome to Pastor Sean Nolan. I know some of you know him.
Good morning. Oh, it's on. Great. It always takes a minute. So thank you for that introduction, Tori. I'm a bad manager of time, so I'm just pulling this out so I know I got how much I have. Okay. As Tori said, my name is Sean Nolan, and yeah, I've really only been a part of three churches, and so Terra Nova was my first church, so my wife Hannah and I are here. Phil Taylor, one of the founding pastors of Terra Nova, married us back in 2009, and we've since had four kids and live in Albany. And you know, at Engage Albany, where I pastor, just you know, across the river, down the road a little bit, we have been going through the Book of Ecclesiastes lately. And I remember being a part of Terra Nova when it met at Revolution Hall and going through that book. And one of the themes that the Lord has just been kind of meeting me in is this idea of nostalgia. Anyone else here nostalgic at all? You know that feeling, right? Oh, thank you. Appreciate the show of hands. And, you know, there's this verse that says, do not say, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you say this. And that verse has long stuck with me. When my wife and I first started dating, I remember driving by places in the Capital District and telling her, getting excited and thinking, oh, we're about to pass an apartment that I lived in with my mom when I was a kid. And it's almost funny. You can laugh. It's okay. How many times we would drive by it and then I look over and it would be gone, like a fire or a wrecking ball. I don't know. It would be gone, and I would feel kind of sad, right? And so there's that mixture of emotions I have in coming back to Terra Nova, which is I've never been in this building before, but I see some friends that I recognize, and we have a lot of a shared history. We spent a long time here, and what I've come to learn as I've been journeying through Ecclesiastes with our church is that the other verse in there that gets me a lot is we were created for eternity. God has put eternity into our hearts, so. We're searching for that. Our hearts are these active things, looking for the place that we belong. And so often we go back to where we think we came from. And to be sure, I believe I came from here, just to say. And we're mixed with this combination. Maybe you feel this at like a family reunion or Thanksgiving or something, where you leave and you're just sadder than ever because you were created to be restored with God and his people, and we're chasing that. But when we go back to those places we've come from, we've changed. The Lord has changed me in the decade plus since I've left Terra Nova, hopefully for the better, and he's probably changed all of you as well. I see, again, a lot of faces I recognize, some new ones, but it's really a pleasure and a gift to be with you this morning, and if you just give me a moment, I'd like to pray, and we'll ask the Lord to bless this time, and then I'll share a little scripture, and then, man, Tori gave me the greatest gift. He said, just tell us what God's been doing in your church, and I was like, that's amazing, so I don't even have to get out any commentaries to do that, which is unbelievable. So let's pray, and then I will share a little out of God's word. Father, what a joy, what a privilege that we can say those words, that we can say, Father, and I just think of the time that I was a brand new Christian, sitting amongst many people in this room, and just feeling fearful, like, can I sing? What will the people next to me think if I sing out to you, my Father, my God? Just being afraid of that. And now I just think, man, what an amazing journey you've brought me on. That now I get the privilege of speaking to your people, of asking that you would give us life in your words. So would you do that this morning? Would you continue to pull us deeper into your story, lead us along these quiet waters, this green grass that you've promised to give to your sheep as the great shepherd? Would you give us that this morning? Jesus, we just thank you that you would give your life for us. Would you remind us of that good news? Would you not leave us unchanged, but help us to just be drawn to worship you and abandon this morning? In spirit, would you just dwell richly amongst your people as you've promised you will? It's in your name we pray. Amen. So I want to read to you just a few verses out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I hope you'll see kind of why I'm doing this, but I'm picking up in verse 6, and this is Timothy's report to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, Paul is reporting about Timothy's report. So, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love, and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God? As we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. This is the word of the Lord. And the reason I wanted to just share out of this text, and I'm not going to, like I said, I didn't get any commentary, so I'm not going to get lost in the weeds of what Paul was saying necessarily, as much as he's giving this report to this church and saying, I was encouraged that Timothy came to me from you, that somebody that came from your church came to visit me. God is moving all around us in many different churches, and we've developed a practice at Engage Albany where we often pray for another church every Sunday just to remind us of the promises that Jesus has made, that we're not the only one, that his plan, his gospel is much bigger than us. We stand on the shoulders of 2,000 years of church history. And so I remember in 2015 getting a call to youth ministry at a church in Maryland, and it was Pastor Ed Marcel. You guys hopefully remember him. and he said, you know, Sean, you're being sent from the church to the church. And I just remember thinking, that is a really good way of saying that. So, again, I feel like it's a bit of a homecoming for me here. Again, even though I've never been in this gym before, but I've been at Revolution Hall. And so I have three things that I kind of wanted to walk through this morning. I wanted to just spend a little time talking about the shared history I have with you, being that I spent the formative years of my Christian faith here at Terra Nova. And then talk a little bit about shared language. We have a shared history, a shared language, and then a shared gospel. Fun fact, this passage in 1 Thessalonians here, that word he uses, that Timothy has brought us the good news of your faith. I lied a little bit about the commentaries. There's one, that's a Greek word. The Greek word is evangelion, which is good news. It's the same word as gospel. And just to geek out for like 2 seconds, this is the only place where Paul uses the word gospel, not referring to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he's saying, I heard a gospel which is about your faith. It's pretty amazing. So I just come to report to you some good news of the faith that Jesus is creating amongst his church in Albany, and hopefully to be encouraged by the good news of the faith that he is creating here in Troy. And maybe the Lord does more through us. Maybe more churches are planted in the Capital District. As Pastor Tori said, you guys are invested in the work of church planting, as are we. So some of our shared history. You know, it's funny because Tori, I feel like, is almost a brother to me, but I don't really know him that well. He kind of came to Terra Nova as we left, it was a year or two later, I think. But because we have shared history and shared influences and mentors and pastors, I feel like, I just have so much affection for this man. I came to Christ in 2005, and then at the time I was playing in some punk bands and doing all kinds of foolish things. And we would often play at Revolution Hall, and then I saw a Metroland article. Many of you aren't old enough to know what that is. It was like an alternative news weekly magazine in Albany, and had Jesus on the skateboard on the front. And I saw, there's a church in Revolution Hall. I should go there, because that's my bar. And long story short, Jesus got a hold of me, and I got baptized there. And then I think it was 2012. I became an intern at Terra Nova. And in 2012, I think Phil Taylor sent me an email that said, "This is the email you've been waiting for." And I opened it and he said, "We want you to preach on New Year's Day." And I thought it was a joke. So I said, "This is a joke, right?" And he said, "No." And then after I threw up, I came and did it. And then they gave me the, they trusted me. They gave me some rope to start a youth group at Terra Nova Church. And I mean, it touches me so much to see Max Kaprudis is over there. So he was the first guy in the youth group, and his dad is a pastor here. And I'm sorry, but also grateful the Lord used you in spite of me. And to see, I mean, already the highlight of my morning was hearing Jonah reading out of Colossians and seeing that he stole my facial hair and perfected it. Thank you. I still can't grow very good facial hair. But you're rocking it. So amazing that the Lord would, I just remember trying to get Max to read like giant like theology books that were way too big. And I'm sorry about that too, because that was silly. But that's all I knew. And so got baptized here in 2008 and then was sent to Maryland from 2015 to 18 and came back here. I think I was in three tribes, maybe four, because you know how these things work, right? They kind of morph. Sometimes you're like, oh, it's got a little big, so we're going to multiply it. We don't say divide, right? Multiply it. And 10 of you are going to start a new tribe. And so I was in a number of tribes here. And so that's some of my history here at Terra Nova. I had the privilege of being a part of redemption groups, had some great memories with Pastor Nat, right? He wasn't a pastor then, but the Lord has his hand upon him. And so that's some of our shared history here, and it's just so meaningful to me. Just a little bit of the history at Engage Albany. So we celebrated our five-year anniversary in October, and so we're still here. We made it 5 years. And we did six baptisms in 2023. So that's pretty exciting. That's six people who, you know, that's a high watermark, pun intended, of your faith when you go public with it. And before that, I don't think, you know, the 4 years prior to 2023, I don't think we did six baptisms combined. So it took some time. We're in the Northeast here for people to catch the vision, for Christ to get a hold of them. And just to give you a really truncated timeline, so we started meeting in the fall of 2018 and my wife and my home in Albany. And then at some point we started meeting in Honest Wait Food Co-op. Yeah, believe that. And we met there for a little while. We met, we led Bible studies there in our house, maybe some other houses. At some point we started meeting at Capital City Rescue Mission. That was pretty short. And then people started saying, so we're like a house church, right? And I was like, no way. We're definitely not a house church. It's just that you can all fit in a house, but hopefully you invite some friends. And so then when people started saying that, I said, well, invite everyone you know. We're going to rent a space. So in 2019, we did four different preview services in four different locations. So we did one in the Chinese Christian Church of Greater Albany. That was pretty cool. And then a couple months later, we did one at the Albany Barn. This is an art space in Albany. That was wonderful, but they had no kids space and no parking. So I would have loved to make that work, but it wasn't going to work without those two things. And then we did one at Koinonia. Many of you guys know this place, right? You guys serve there? Excellent. So we did one at Koinonia. And then we did one at in February 2020 at this Lutheran church that was in walking distance to where I lived in Albany. And I remember at that moment saying, like, you know, as a church plant, a lot of people are giving us money. We can't really find a long-term place that wants to lease to us long-term. But all the money that we're getting as a church plant, what if we just did a catered lunch for every Sunday, and we just hosted it at my house? And so in March 2020, we did that one time. One time. And people were freaking out and squirting hand sanitizer all over everything. And then we didn't meet again in person for a long time. And so we met on Zoom, and the Lord was kind and faithful. And then in the summer of 2020, after we added our COVID baby to our family, our fourth one, we started meeting in Lincoln Park in Albany. And And that was really great. A lot of fond memories there. And as I said when I started, when I go back to the places that I grew up in, so often they've disappeared. So we used to worship under this amazing big tree. It started getting so cold, our equipment started failing. So we're like, we need to go somewhere. And so then we went actually back to Koinonia, and we met in their basement for a year or two, I think, that we met there. And now if you go back to that tree, they chopped it down. Okay? The Lord just wants us to seek new life, it turns out. So we met at Koinonia for a year or two. That was our second permanent location, And then we moved to the Elks Lodge for, I think, a year and a half in Albany. A lot of great memories there. And then, I'm sorry, because I know you guys are, is it 20 years Terra Nova has been around? 18? Getting close, okay. So in June, we signed a 5-year lease at a permanent space in Albany. So we don't have to set up and tear down anymore. I'm sorry that you guys do. but I will say, you know, in Albany, the odds aren't good, and the goods are odd. So we love what we have, but we can, you know, we could fit like 100 chairs, but you know, nobody wants to sit right next to each other. So maybe you get 80 and start feeling full. So don't sing this to what? 400 of my closest friends? How many? I don't know how many of you are here. So don't say this to my church, but we're like, we probably have to go to 2 services within the next year. So they're not ready to accept that, but that's just the reality because of the size of our space. And we do have a balcony, which is cool too, which again reminds me of my shared history at Revolution Hall. So so that's a little bit of kind of our hermit crab situation of changing shells a bunch of times. And then it was when we started, so those first 2 years, man, those were rocky, as is any church plant. I think I remember Pastor Ed saying, the early years of a church plant, it's just held together with shoestring and a prayer, and I very much feel that. And then when we kind of came out of COVID and started meeting in this park in 2020, Dave Brown, who has some shared history here at Terra as well, started leading worship for us. And then we actually hired him full-time come this year, 2024, and are recognizing him as the second pastor at Engage. So it took us 5 years to have more than one pastor, which is not how I would have wished it had gone, but that's how the Lord led us. So, yeah, praise God. Now we have 2 full-time pastors, and he's raised up about 4 other worship leaders, which is amazing as well. So in the past, we've been grateful to have Pastor Dennis and his wife Rachel fill in for us when he's had a break, and we've had others. Oh, yeah, Brian Shaughnessy as well. Thank you for lending us your help. So it's not just been money that you guys have given us in prayer, but also even helped us with people on occasion. So thank you for that. And then just one other thing, and then I'll kind of change into the second piece here about shared language. I'm talking about kind of our history here a little bit, but one other thing that we've inherited from Terra Nova is we, financially, we give 10% of our internal giving to church planting as well. So so that's not external gifts. So like I think we're about 70% self-sufficient at this point, which is amazing. So we're 5 years in. Hopefully you can pray for us by year 7 that I think nobody will give us money anymore. So hopefully we'll be able to swim and not sink by that point. But just to, by way of encouragement, 10% of our internal giving goes back to church planting through various networks and things we're a part of. And so last year, I'm a bad guy to get the numbers from, so show me grace if this might be wrong. I don't know where you would fact check it, but I think we gave $12,000 or $15,000 to church planting last year, so at Engage Albany. So and now this year in 2024, we're actually supporting a church right over in Glenville, our first local church plant. You know, I won't tell you the dollar amount because it's you know, 10% is smaller when it's a smaller budget than yours, right? So it's about the percentage though. And so there's a church in Glenville called Fireside Church that is working on getting started over there now that we have the privilege and faith to support as they start their ministry over there. So that's some of the things that the Lord has been doing at Engage Albany, kind of a shared history there. And then by way of kind of talking a little bit about shared language, today's St. Patrick's Day. And so I never knew how I should feel about this, but on occasion, people would visit us from Terra Nova, and they would almost always say the same thing. This kind of reminds me of Terra Nova back in the day. And I mean, that's probably inevitable. But one thing that on St. Patrick's Day that I think is maybe a DNA that is very similar to both of us in kind of shared language. When St. Patrick was going back to Ireland to make disciples, to plant churches, he started monasteries. That was a thing they did. And Terranova has long said we're missional and monastic. And so we've tried to take that kind of language to say what we've done is really tried to challenge people. When you're a church plant, you have 10 people, and every person wants two or three programs, and if you multiply that, that's like 30 programs with 10 people, right? Maybe you've experienced this. And that's just, that's not bad. There's nothing bad about that. It's just we long for connection, and we think ministry programs are the way to do that, and often they are, but we sometimes think too much about that. And so what we've kind of challenged our people to do is, well, we want to be pretty zealous about limiting the number of programs, the number of times we ask you to come to a church event during the week, so that way you can be a missionary in your community. And so so we've done the same thing that Terranova has done. We don't call them tribes, we call them engage groups, but we encourage people to meet in small groups through in their homes throughout the week and make that the primary means of discipleship. And how that connects to St. Patrick is when he would start monasteries, the language that he would use would be, well, this is a low-walled monastery. So if you go to some monasteries, they might have high walls, which give the impression, we want to keep people out. Where St. Patrick was saying, well, I want you to come in and experience Christianity firsthand. Yeah. Often, a relationship with Christ is more caught than it is taught. And so what if you experience Christian community authentically and see how we live? Now, you can't get drunk and you can't beat people up in here. But that's about it. Apart from that, you know, come and experience Christianity, and we'll trust that Christ will get a hold of you in community. So we very much try to embody that, as I know you guys have done since your inception here at Terranova. Do you guys still use the language Lectio Coram Deo? Is that a thing we're using? Cool. Okay. So similarly, we would use stuff like that, that kind of language of how do you read God's word in his presence. We call it abiding. We're trying to create this culture of, if you want the tool, email me. It's sean@engagealbany.org. But before you open God's word, what does it look like to open your heart to him? To say, Lord, I'm anxious. You feel distant from me. We have a worksheet we use to go through with people. To just acknowledge who you are as a soul before the Lord, open your heart to him, and then open his word and see how does his word speak to me as the person I am today with the challenges and struggles I'm facing. How does he speak to me in that way? And then maybe read the text another time and see how you can find hope and rest in him, how you abide in him as Jesus instructed us to do in John 15. I know Pastor Ed would say you could read the Bible through three lenses, right? Eternal, internal, external, head, heart, hands. We've tried to, language shifts. It was from Ed that I learned this. Words are just containers for ideas, right? So as the Spirit has been moving amongst our church, we use this language of knowing, experiencing, and imaging Christ. It moves it into an active verb sense of how do you know him, experience him, and image him to your neighbors. So we have a little bit of that kind of shared language engage as you guys use here at Terra. And then lastly, we have a shared gospel. As I said, it's remarkable that this word in 1 Thessalonians 3, this good news of your faith is the same as the good news of the gospel. It's the same Greek word, but he's saying, we heard a gospel which was about your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. It's really, really encouraging to be gathering with you guys this morning. And again, I hope to bring you some good news. A while back, I had an opportunity to share a little bit about our church with somebody, and at some point, they asked me this question. There was a camera involved. He was filming me. I just want to state that. So it always feels weird when you're on camera. We've gotten used to it now in this post-COVID age, but he asked me something like, what makes you confident that Christ is going to use your church? And at the time, I felt like, with the camera in my face, like, I don't have a really well-defined answer to this question. That sounds bad, right? You're a church planner, like, oh, I don't actually know why God's calling me into this thing. But what I ended up saying, I actually think was led by the Spirit. And I just said, well, you know, Paul kind of boasts about his weakness. He says, when I am weak, then I am strong. And that's kind of how I feel about church planning. If I'm honest with you, we've made 1,000 mistakes. Don't hear that as sin. I'm just saying mistakes. You know, we've done things, some good, some bad, some worked, some didn't work, just to think, how do we reach people with this good news, with this gospel? And where I've really found a lot of encouragement in this is, you know this verse, it's Matthew 16:18, and it's Jesus speaking to Peter after he has this amazing moment of profession, where he professes that Jesus is the Christ, or confesses him. He says, you are the Christ, the Messiah. And what Jesus says to him, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Man, that is really good news, this promise that Jesus makes us. And he's changing Peter's name, by the way, there too, right? He was known by Simon before that. Here he calls him Peter, which means the rock. There's some wordplay Jesus is doing here. And just read on in the Gospels, right? We're in Lent. We're getting closer to Good Friday, Holy Week, and Resurrection Sunday. Maybe you want to read through Jesus' final days. And just, it's so easy to kind of go after Peter. Such an idiot, really. An idiot kind of like me. And he just puts his foot in his mouth all the time, says these silly things. But I can't tell you how much encouragement I found from Peter, because he was in the grip of Christ, which is really a good place to be. And so he tells him, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So many times I would run faster than Jesus' grace or fall behind his grace, and yet I've not been abandoned by him. And he's using us to build his church down in Albany. You know, in the early years, when I was newly married, I would walk the streets of Albany in our first apartment down there, and at the time I was crossing the river to come to church over here in Troy, and I remember walking through those neighborhoods one time with my wife and saying, like, somebody just needs to engage these people with the gospel. I said, that's a cool name for a church, Engage Albany. And through the course of praying and seeking his face for what that would look like, at some point I realized, like, well, that kind of makes it all about us and all about me. Like, how do we engage others with the gospel? And so Troy didn't know this. The Holy Spirit planned it, not him, not me. But he was sharing with Revelation 21 that we're the bride of Christ. We're waiting to be united with him. We're engaged, if you will, to be reunited with our bridegroom. And so in kind of thinking, who would Christ have us to be? Well, we're the unfaithful bride that he deems worthy. He makes worthy. He deems valuable, that he would give his life for us to purify us, to cleanse us, to bring us back to himself. And I don't think it's coincidental that his first miracle is at a wedding, if you know John 2, where he turns water into wine because he wants to restore our joy. Wine is a symbol of joy. Just think about for a moment, if you will, how frivolous that miracle is, right? Because it's not like they ran out of food or that their house was in foreclosure. It was that we just don't have enough wine. We can't party anymore, Lord. I mean, I would tell people this all the time, like, what's going to make your church different? I said, well, I'm native, so I'm not going to go away because my parents live here. So I'm just not going to give up. But maybe second to that, we just want to throw better parties. We like to say, sometimes we like to ask this of people in leadership at our church, like, what's an otherworldly evidence of God this week? Otherworldly. Where do you get a taste of something otherworldly? They saw this at this wedding in Cana in John chapter 2, where people were marveling, they were worshiping Jesus. Remember, he says that thing to his mom, my hour has not yet come. Woman, he calls her woman. It doesn't mean what we think it means, but it's hard to not read tone into scripture sometimes, right? Don't say that to your mom, please. But his hour had not yet come. The hour he was talking about, I think, is the hour where he would drink the foaming cup of wrath. the foaming cup of wine, God's wrath, that we won't have to taste if we know him, if we are in him. But there, that day, he multiplies wine to show them. God cares about the smallest minutia of our life. He wants us to have joy. What does it look like for you as a follower of him to throw better parties? For your neighbors to think like, you know, they're not the type of Christians that I thought they were. They're not the Ned Flanders type that I saw on TV. They throw really good parties, but they also really seem to be the people I could call when something really bad happens to me. Like they might have some otherworldly hope for me. That's all in John 2. And just maybe to kind of close us out here just a little bit, I don't have a slide for this, but in Revelation 19, just two verses before where Tori shared, we read this. It says, "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints.' And the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.'" I ask you, Are you invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb? Well, with the Holy Spirit inside of me, with the authority of the Bible, you are. You don't have to impress him with some good deeds that you've done. Maybe you feel like, just even this morning, I can't live with the things I've done. Well, thankfully, if you cling to Christ, if you seek him in faith, if you trust him, the Father looks at you. He doesn't see all the bad things you've done. He doesn't see all your regrets, but he sees the good work of Christ, the one who lived a perfect life, who died the death that we deserve, and he sees them. He can scandalously proclaim over you the same benediction he proclaimed over Jesus. It's my beloved son, my beloved daughter, with whom I am well pleased, if you're in that Christ. And you're invited. We're waiting. We're engaged to be reunited with him at that wedding supper. Let me pray for you, and then we'll turn to a time of communion. Father, we are a people of unclean lips, a people who feel funny, feel awkward when we hear this good news, like, sounds too good to be true. It's from another world. Your kingdom is not of this world, but we get tastes of it, we get glimpses of it here when we worship together, when we're with the saints. Would you continue to humble us, that we would just cry out and acknowledge our need for you? Would you help us to reconcile with one another, to be quick to forgive, quick to seek forgiveness, because we know we are fickle. But you hold us in your hand, Lord, and we long for your coming. Would you come soon, Jesus, and make right what has been twisted and made wrong? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.